You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
We believe that a rising China is a positive development.
Iran is clearly feeling the pressure.
I just want to say to Whitney up in heaven, we all love you, Whitney Houston.
Now, when I grew up in Michigan, it was exciting to be here. I remember going to the Detroit Auto Show with my dad.
Lynn for three.
Running back in audio terms through the headlines of the last week, it's time for our Friday follow of the stories that were important this week. Jeff Yang writes the Dow Jones column for the Wall Street Journal and blogs for our co-producer WNYC's It's a Free Country. Fry Chidea, journalist and blogger at Fry.com on Skype from Boston. Fry, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And Ron Christie, also in the studio with Jeff, is a Republican political strategist and contributor for The Takeaway and itsafreecountry.org from our co-producer, WNYC. Ron and Jeff, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
You were at Madison Square Garden for the victory of the Knicks over the Lakers last Friday night, I believe.
I was indeed.
Can I touch you, please?
You can bask in my reflected presence.
Nothing changes about the Lynn story. Let's just get that out of the way, right, Jeff?
Well, it only gets bigger. I mean, we are talking about Lynn Mentum at this point, I guess.
Well, but I'm struck at how much, and I watched a little bit of the sort of pundit TV and had a lot of conversations when I was up in Boston this week. The fact that this fellow was undiscovered and then discovered and has really excelled and has really bound together a team, the Knicks, which had a lot of factionalism going up until now, has really started an interesting conversation for I about what we really think about race relations and what's actually going on. Fry, have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just sitting with a bunch of students last night. I'm up teaching at Harvard this semester, and they were talking about that internet meme that says, you know, what society thinks, et cetera, et cetera. And there's one for Asian Americans that has, like, you know, guy studying over books. But in the final frame of the meme, like, how I think of myself, it's Jeremy Lin.
Ha, that's so great. You know, Spike Lee, I heard him on TV saying his favorite Lin pun was no more Asian profile Lin. I thought that was really great. Ron, what do you make of what's going on here?
Well, I think this is great for the country, honestly. I think a undiscovered young gentleman who happens to be of color who has not only inspired his teammates, but he's inspired the country. Jeff and I were talking about before we came on. A week ago, no one was talking about him. No one knew who he was. Now you have the President of the United States talking about him. You have Kim Kardashian allegedly wanting to date him. That's the first sign of the apocalypse. But I think what it tells us as a society is that we're still looking for that good, feel-good story, an inspirational story, that it's not all about money and it's not all about the Hollywood, but it's about heart and its character. And I think that's what Jeremy Lin means to a lot of people.
And feel good is not really the story that was the death of Whitney Houston this week, which resonated throughout the week from the Grammys forward. Fry, I am struck that the conversation there was a lot about commemorating her talent, which of course is undeniable, but very little about the extraordinary tragedy that followed her straight to the grave. And I'm just wondering if that's a hit on the media or if that's not part of the conversation.
It was a boomerang. I mean, I've been watching this trend fairly carefully. So people started out classy, as they sometimes do. But don't wait on the haters, because then you got the rumors about her sexuality, the proof about her drug use, the pictures from her hotel room where she died. I mean, things have gotten less classy over the course of the week. But what I think was great was that people went back and looked at her, at least initially, as a cultural icon, as a teen model who made the cover of Seventeen magazine back in the early 80s, and then as a woman who kind of broke the sound barrier in pop music.
Yet I'm struck there's a lesson here. People in this situation struggling with addictions like this need help. They don't need to be put on a pedestal and isolated and abandoned.
I don't think she has been, because I do think that there was like a moment of commemoration, but then there's been people who she worked with, I'm forgetting her name.
Well, the narrative has definitely changed. Ron, you had a word?
And see, here's where I disagree with Farai on this. I mean, I've heard, oh, what a wonderful story, what a wonderful woman. But she could have been an inspiration for so many people to say, I have a problem. I need to stand up. I need to address my problem, and could have been a role model in that regard, as opposed to us lionizing her after her death. It's a tragedy. I mean, that was one of the first albums I bought as a kid. But unfortunately, a lot of us are going to have the memory of her dying and the tragedy of her life, which could have been so much more. Let's not just talk about the celebrity factor. Let's talk about the tragedy, because that's what this is.
I think both of those conversations are ongoing and will definitely continue. That's Ron Christie for Today is also with us, and Jeff Yang. Jeff Yang, it's all about Michigan. If we're looking at the race for the White House, correct?
It is indeed. I mean, if only because Michigan is very much seen as the tipping point, or the final one, perhaps, for Romney to get his mojo back, if he's going to do that. If, in fact, he loses his home state, one of his home states, to...
Well, it's a home state because his dad was governor there.
Yes.
A popular governor there, a centrist Republican governor there. Mm-hmm. Romney now trying to prove in a very different Michigan, an evangelical Tea Party Michigan, that he's a conservative. How much of an irony is that?
It's a huge irony. And I'd actually go beyond that. It's not just that it's an evangelical Tea Party Michigan, but it's a blue-collar auto economy Michigan, very much so. And the comments that he made and the kind of backlash to them around the bailout, quote-unquote, of the auto industry are not playing well, will not play well. And the unfortunate, for him anyway, reality that this is an industry that's come back super strong and is now one of the shining lights, actually, of that era for Obama is going to be a huge problem for him.
Farai Chideya, is there a pre-existing headwind for Romney in Michigan, or is it a headwind of his own making, do you think?
Well, it really depends on what the voters do, because you can have cross-party voting in Michigan, and I think that you'll look at swing voters and party-crossing Democrats in the Republican Party looking at Romney unfavorably, in part based on his stance on the bailout. He has come out strong against the bailout of the car companies in Michigan, even though President Bush started that series of bailouts and President Obama finished it. And I don't know, I don't think it's going to hurt him with core Republicans, but it may hurt him with some of the crossover voters.
Ron Christie, on that crossover question, are Democrats conspiring to snuff out Romney's campaign by voting for Santorum as a tactical measure in the Michigan primary?
I think they might, and I think that's a mistake. I still think Governor Romney would be the stronger candidate up against President Obama, but I think there's a sense out there that, hey, let's get this Rick Santorum guy. What can we do with him? What can we, Rush always has his little Rush Limbaugh surges. Maybe the Democrats can have their Santorum surge. But at the end of the day, I think this is the most critical state for Romney, because there aren't that many states where he can continue to spend the money that he has spent to try to propel himself over the victory line. And again, if you have to spend that amount of money and that amount of time to convince people that you're conservative, you're in trouble.
What do you make of Santorum as a campaigner? He's taken this measured tone, this I'm not going negative tone. He puts his name all over the ads so that you see that it's coming from him, whereas some of the Romney ads look like they're coming from some sort of secret conspiracy. Good tactic, good strategy?
It is. You know, I've known Rick Santorum for 21 years, and folks say, you know, who is this guy and where did he come from? And I said, this is Rick Santorum. He is unabashed about what he believes, what he thinks, and he's willing to wrap himself up in it. And it comes as no surprise to me. And I think a lot of conservative Republicans say, hey, this is refreshing. He's willing to put himself in the ad. He's willing to say what he believes, and he's not going to hide around anybody.
Quick on winners and losers this week, Ron?
Winner has to be Rick Santorum. Good week for him. Loser has to be, frankly, Governor Romney. I mean, all the talk is, can he pull it off?
Okay, we know Lynn is a winner this week. Jeff Yang, any losers?
I would say that Greece is a big loser. Mm. But we, at least here in the United States, have some feel-good moments to embrace.
Yeah, yes. And just for all you fans watching, it's Saturday night against the Hornets. And then Sunday afternoon, it's the Knicks versus the reigning champ, Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah,
I understand the cheapest price for that ticket at the Garden is about $4,000 right now. For I take us out.
Well, I think the loser is Newt Gingrich, who has kind
Newt
of fallen
who?
Off
correct
the radar.
Answer. That is the correct answer, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, Fry.
That's it.
That's it. The loser is the evaporating, the incredible shrinking Newt Gingrich. Yeah. We should note, since you all three are familiar and wonderful, friendly voices on The Takeaway, that we've lost one member of our family, Anthony Shadid, from The New York Times, that died yesterday. I know you've heard about it. Any thoughts there?
Well, I mean, he's such a courageous man for constantly going to where the danger is, and I think he'll be missed by people who value good information about places that they don't always travel to.
Well, he'll certainly be missed by everyone in this room, Ron.
Absolutely. Old school journalist, nice guy, not afraid to put himself in harm's way to get the story.
Here's to old school, and 43 years old in old school. Jeff Yang writes the Dow Jones column for the Wall Street Journal, blogs for our co-producer, WNYC's It's a Free Country. Farai Chidea, journalist and blogger at Farai.com, and Ron Christie, Republican political strategist and contributor for The Takeaway, and our co-producer, WNYC's political website, itsafreecountry.org. Many of you are writing in with your opinions about our story regarding the Catholic Church, the U.S. government, and insurance coverage for contraception. It's a big political debate. Be part of it at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our site, thetakeaway.org. I'm John Huckenberry. Celeste is out today and Monday. She'll be back next week. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.